Galatians chapter 5. I'll give you the other. We're going to turn to Hebrews 6 and 1 Peter 2. That should be all for tonight. But the message is found in Galatians. Y'all there? Amen. Oh, I forgot Matthew 7. Matthew 7 as well. Matter of fact, let's look at Matthew 7, then we'll go to Galatians 5. Look at Matthew chapter 7. In my studies today, got so much just fruit out of it. And it's like, you know, you go somewhere to pick a piece of fruit and you end up having baskets full of fruit. And you have so much of it, and you don't know how much to get, what to give to. Like tonight, I'm like, well, what do I give? So I'm just giving you a little bit of the fruit that I got this morning. And then maybe Sunday, we'll talk about some, maybe Sunday night, maybe next Wednesday, and we'll get it all in. But in Matthew chapter 7, look in verse 16 with me, please. Jesus, well, look, read 15. 15 says, because all these things that we're reading, they all dovetail in, and they all mean something deep, rich and deep that we've got to try to not glean, but really receive of the Lord exactly what God's telling us. Not a little bit here and there. Let's like drink. Let's drink down good things of the Lord. But in verse 15, Matthew 7, 15, it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I just want you to see that you can't really tell what a person's like outwardly. It's always about inwardly. Amen. I could go different ways. I just want to give you what I have for tonight. Look in the next verse. It says, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is what? It's honed down, and it's cast into the fire. That's what Jesus said, wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. You know, you don't have to be a prophet, a preacher, a TV evangelist to be inwardly a wolf or inwardly a phony. And what I wanted you to hear from heaven today, tonight, from what God is trying to speak to us, he says, beware of the false prophets because they come to you on the outward looking good, but inwardly they're not good. But then he continues to say, you shall know them by their fruits. And he says, even so, every good tree. So it's not just talking about a preacher or a teacher. He's talking about everybody here. Every good tree that bringeth forth not good fruit, it's cut down. And he tells us that you'll know them by their fruits. So let's just apply it to us tonight and say, we'll know us by our fruits. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm not stretching. I'm giving the exact. Now turn to Galatians chapter 5 with me. As we have in Galatians 5, we know about the fruits of the Spirit. And I want to read a little, and we're going to just look at some things here and get through the night early. But I really want you to pay attention, because Jesus talks more about fruit in the Bible than you would imagine. And he talks about John the Baptist being the one sent by God before Jesus. John the Baptist really laid into the roots. And he said, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that doesn't bring forth fruit is going to be cut down. Now, I just want you to have these thoughts in your head about fruit and about bringing forth fruit. And you'll know them by their fruit. So I want us to look at ourselves tonight, children, and look at all of us and see What kind of fruit are we bringing forth? Amen? Amen. And look what it says in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. It says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." That's right, Liberty Baptist Church. "Only use not liberty for an occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another." He starts off telling us, and most people read this and they just get over it. I want you to understand what he's trying to say and what he's about to say. But he tells us that we need to not have occasion to the flesh, but we need to love and to serve one another. Okay, that's the what I want you to see, the very first thing he says. He says, "For all the law," in verse 14, "for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So you see where he's coming from about loving one another, about loving people, and about caring about others. And then he says in verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Now I want you to understand, you have this, if you have Christ, you have the Spirit of God, amen? But you also, and will never get rid of your own flesh until we've been given a brand new body in the resurrection. So you have your flesh and you have God's Spirit, amen, in the same place dwelling inside of you. So we know that there's a battle going on, but what God's trying to tell us is that what we need to be realize each moment and each day is that we will be producing fruit from one of those. We're going to receive the fruit from, just put it this way, there's two vines. Or two roots. One is the root of the flesh and the old you, and the root of this world, and the other is the root of Christ and God who's in you. And what happens is you're going to have to decide which root you are receiving your fruit from, and you have to realize if it isn't the right tree or the right root, then you need to do something about it. Amen? But he goes on and he says this, in verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." Meaning there is a battle going on. Each one wants to control you. Each one wants you to be the one that receives from them. The Spirit that's in you wants you to walk it with Him, talk with Him, love Him, serve Him, be part of Him. Amen? And in doing so, you get to receive of His blessings and His fruit. The other thing, your flesh wants you to walk with it and talk with it and be part of it. And that way you'll know which one you're being part of by the fruit that you're showing on the outward appearance. Now it goes on and says this in verse 18, "But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now," and he tells us, "the works of the flesh are manifest or revealed, which are these: adultery, fornications, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft." But pay attention to this, hatred. There's a lot of hatred out there. It's a lot of hatred. And I mean, you can get caught up in that. It says variance, emulations, wrath. How about this one? Strife, seditions, heresies. And look at this in verse 21. Envyings, murders. What did Jesus say about murders, Brother Brian? When Jesus said, "It is written, thou shalt not kill." Well, what did Jesus say? "But I say unto you, every man that had hatred for in his heart towards his brother has already killed." So we know that he's talking about murders, not on the outward, because everything's on the inward. Remember we said that? Remember, on the inward, it's not what's on the outward, it's in the inward. So it's murders, that means hating people, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty serious. And then he goes on in verse 12, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's, pay attention to this, have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now I'm going to stop right there. I just want to realize that the fruit of God is always good. Amen? God's fruit is good. Psalm 34 verse 8 says this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Luke 14, 24, Jesus said that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. The things that God has prepared for us, the things that we get from God are good. Can I get an amen? Amen. Think the fruit from God, if you're eating and partaking of the fruit of God, how good it is. Amen. How Jackie Gleason used to say, how sweet it is. Amen. I want you to think about that fruit from the Holy Spirit that's in you. And he goes on, he tells us the ninefold fruits of the Spirit of God. That's the stuff that we are supposed to be partaking of. Amen. And I really enjoyed it when you two, Anton and Joe, when you were praising, giving praise, you were talking about long suffering and talking about gentleness and meekness. And I'm like, yeah, that's what we're talking about tonight. But I want you to think about this, is that when he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And Jesus says, there's going to be some people that I've called and they wouldn't answer. They're not going to get the taste of my fruit. Think about that. That you, the rest of your life, you just don't get to taste and see how good God is. The rest of your life, you don't taste the fruit of the Lord. Now, what is the fruit of the Lord? Love, joy, and peace, right? We're going to get that in a minute. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2 with me. 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter 2, are you there? Look in verse 1 down to 3. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. See, all this is in the heart of man. All this could be inside of you today. You could have shown some of these. And it says, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may what? Grow thereby. So there's a lot of things in here that you wonder why people don't grow. Or you wonder why you're not growing. Maybe because there's malice and envyings and guile in your mouth. Evil speakings. No Christian can. The Bible tells us that a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. And an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. So if you're not experiencing the goodness of the Lord in your life, there's a reason. There's something wrong. Do you ever think of evil speakings? Don't ever. We have to always look and see what's coming out of our mouth. Amen. We have to see if it's complaining and murmurings and all of this. If everything negative is coming out of you, that's the root that you're taking from. Do you understand that? If evil speakings and you don't like this person and you don't like this and you don't like that, and that's the fruit that's coming out of you. Please pay attention. And he goes on and says in verse 3, if so be that you've tasted that the Lord is what? Grace. So what does that mean? Grace to you. If so be that you've tasted. Now I want to say that, we're gonna hop over to Hebrews chapter 6 real quick. If so be that you've truly tasted the fullness or the fatness of the vine of God. Please let this, don't let this me just be speaking up here and you're not getting what I'm trying to put out there or what God's saying. Receiving and tasting the fruit of God. Receiving, tasting the goodness of the Lord. If you don't taste and see, if you can't experience it and know what it's like, you're not experiencing Christ. And that's just a fact. You know, the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, when you've, it says, if you've tasted, when you've tasted that fruit, when you've been in tune with that fruit, when you've eaten from the tree, amen? You know, the fruit of God, think about it, you got to go to the tree to get it. Where's the tree found of God that you go to get it? The tree of life. And if you think about the tree of life, think of Jesus is the fruit of God, amen? And he was on the tree of life, the cross. As I asked you to think about the things that we read about sacrifice, about crucifixion. And we'll get to that in a moment. But if you've tasted this, you cannot lose what God has given you because it's eternal, it's real. And what that means is you can't lose your salvation. Look in chapter 6 of Hebrews. Look in verse 4 with me. It says, for it is, say it, church, impossible. Say it again, church, impossible. One more time, say it again. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God. Hallelujah. And the powers of the world to come if they should fall away. I'm here to tell you, you can't, if you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, if you've tasted and have partake of the root of that tree, Joe, you can't lose your salvation. People will read that and they'll say, look, says you can lose your, they're forgetting the very first verse, it's impossible. He's just giving you an illustration saying, if it were possible, you'd have to crucify Jesus all over again. It's impossible. And let's go back to our text in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This fruit can only be found on the tree of God. The tree of life. We've heard about that, right? In the garden, the tree of life was in the midst of the garden. God actually separated them so they would not eat of that tree. But I want you to think about the tree that Jesus was nailed to. Amen. They called it, he hung on a tree. We call it the cross, don't we? Amen. The cross is where we eat from. The cross is where we go to eat the bread of life. I want you to think about this. Get spiritual with me. Sacrifice is that tree, isn't it? God's sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice. What he did. What did we read in the beginning? I know you missed it. What did we read in the beginning? It says that the whole law, the fulfillment of the law is what? To love thy neighbor as thyself. It's all about sacrificing yourself for others. Sacrificing love for others. And that's what we're going to get to. But I want you to think about this. Is Jesus nailed to the cross is where we get this bread of life at. Sacrifice is the root of this fruit. Sacrifice. And I'm not talking about just his sacrifice, because God's talking about your sacrifice. Because if you take of the sacrifice of God and you receive of the grace of God, amen, and the love of God and the forgiveness of God and the mercies of God that we get to receive from, can I get an amen, somebody? Well, God's saying now that is in you, now you are that tree of life and you are supposed to emulate the same things that's in you. You're supposed to give out of that tree that what is inside of you. The problem, what I don't see is people aren't growing because they haven't tasted and seen. They don't partake of that fruit. They're still partaking of the root of their old life, their old self, their old selfishness and pride. And it's about me, me, me. And that's the fruit that the people are seeing. And sacrifice is where the tree of life gets its flavor. Sacrifice is where the, have you tasted and seen that God is good? That's what sacrifice is. Sacrifice is where we get the flavor of God. Amen. Think about that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says this. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We've all heard about the ninefold fruits of the Spirit, but I want you to notice something, that the first three, and only the first three, are for your enjoyment and for your pleasure. The first three fruits of the Spirit, charity, are love and joy and peace. That's what we get to receive from the Spirit of Christ. Amen. What do we get, Tony? Love. Hallelujah. How flavorful is that? What else do we get? We get joy. Glory to God. That's like, man, it's just overflowing. And when you bite into a Georgia peach in the prime of its thing, and you bite into the juice, just pours down your, and you're, man, it's like, woo, glory, the joy of the Lord, amen. The love, the flavor of love, and the power of joy, and the peace. Amen. See, those first three fruits are for us. Can I get a witness? Amen. For us to enjoy, for us to taste, for all for us. Amen. But the next six are for others. The next six are not for us. They're for others. The love, the joy, and the peace is the first fruits that you get when you get saved, and God gives it to you. Amen. But the next, nobody, see, everyone wants the love. The baby's not bothering me, so you can hang out. It's fine. We love that child. She's just singing. She never bothers us, not once. And so think about it. The love, the joy, and the peace that God gives us, that's personal. Amen. That's just for you. Can I get a witness? But if you have not tasted and seen, if you have not known the love of Christ or the love of God or the joy of the Lord or the peace of the Holy Ghost, see, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. The Father gives you the love, Jesus gives you the joy, and the Holy Spirit gives you the peace, amen. But if you have not experienced that, how can you even be saved? How can you know that you're having the fruit of the Spirit if you don't have that? And if you don't have that, forget the rest. Because what it is the first three are for you. It's personal. The last six, Tony, is for everyone else. And the last six is long-suffering. Amen? Long-suffering. We don't want to eat from that tree too often. We don't want to eat from that fruit. But you know what it is people need it. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. See, these things is what these things are what the world, the people, our children, our friends, our family, our spouses need to get from us. We need to have long suffering to one another. But no, we're snappy and we're snippy and things get on our nerves. And where's the fruit? Where is it? Oh, we want the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, but we don't want to give out the fruit that's in us. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. And what I see is most Christians are taking from the wrong root, because the flavor that they're giving out is not long-suffering, short, snappy. And then it says gentleness. It's not gentle. You know, we want God to be gentle. I'm thankful God's gentle with me. When I pray, I say, God, correct me, but please be gentle. I tell him, I say, God, just be gentle, because right now I'm having a hard time. I don't know what I can take, but you know what I can take. I mean, you'll never give me more than I can take. And God, thank you for being gentle with me all these years, because I know what I deserve. You know what I mean? And he's so gentle. But then I turn around and God gives me gentleness, and I turn around and I'm not gentle to someone else. Happens all the time. And that's you'll know them by their fruit. And what does it say? The next one, it says goodness. Can't we just be good to one another? Can't the fruit that we give out, what people get from us, can't it just be goodness? Can't we just be good to one another? All the time, can't we? See, that's the fruit of the Spirit. It's for others. And then faith. I want to, because of time, I told you I got a lot to say, but I want you to realize that these long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and even faith needs to have and to be shown for others. What do I mean by that? God has faith in us. God looks at you and he has faith in you. At least somebody does. And God wants us to have faith in others. But we don't. We're getting the fruit from somewhere else, because we're cynical and critical and judgmental. And we don't have faith in people anymore. The world and our own selfish pride and things, makes us cynical. Amen? Criticism, criticizing, even criminalizing people, judging other people. What fruit do others taste in you? What fruit do they get from me and from you? And I tell you what, when God was revealing this to me, Jesus said, you'll know by the fruit. And see, we all look at love, joy, and peace. That's your personal between you and God. But if you can't experience the love of God, how are you going to show someone the long-suffering? And what these things are that God has shown us is that, you know, meekness, temperance is all for other people. But when it comes to other people, that's where we seem to have the rub. We're yelling at people and arguing with people and striving with people. And that's the fruit that you're giving out. And that's what they see. You're like, oh, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. But then you don't have long suffering to one another. And you don't care about one another more. That's what it says. When we read it, it says, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty, but don't use this liberty for an occasion for the flesh, but to serve one another. He said that the whole, everything of the law of God is fulfilled in this, that you love your neighbors as yourself. Amen. And that's the problem, is what people see the fruit. What root are you getting it from? And what I see and what I experience is sometimes I'll have long suffering and other times I don't. Sometimes I'll have gentleness and other times I don't. It's like I'm switching back and forth from the root of selfishness and pride and the root of my old life into the root of God. And I'm jumping, and Jesus said, no, 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 you can't do that. You have to be one or the other. And the problem is we've got to, how we can fix it is by just thinking of what fruit do you show more. And we have to realize, I think it all stems, we can't have long suffering to one another. And we can't have gentleness to one another and goodness to one another and even faith for one another or meekness or temperance, because we're not experiencing the love and the joy and the peace that God gives us for ourselves. That is where it all lies in. That's why he says, if you've tasted and seen, how can you display love for one another when you don't even taste how good God's love is for you? And that's the problem. That's the rub. You'll know them by their fruits. God gave me so much more, and I think we'll see. If I talk about this on Sunday, because it's really, really serious, because God says you're going to be cut down. That means no more fruit for you. No goodness and love and joy the rest of your life from God, because you won't receive or engraft yourself into the precious Holy Spirit of God. You don't spend time with the Holy Spirit. You don't spend time in desiring. It says, as a baby desires the sincere milk of the Word of God, that what? You may grow thereby. Amen. And people, that your correlation of the fruit that you give out, I guarantee is shown by the correlation you spend time alone with Jesus and in His Word. Because it's only through the Word that He reveals to us where we're at spiritually. And when you realize you don't even know the Lord, because the fruit that you're showing others is strife, anger, resentment, envies, jealousies, all these things, none of that's from the fruit of the Spirit. So I just want to finish with this. What fruit do you show more? Look in Galatians chapter 19. I'm sorry, Galatians 5, verse 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatries, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, that's hatred, drunkenness, reveling, or if the, which more do you have, that Or do you have more of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith? Now, please, I'm going to finish, but I don't want you to get the long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance mixed up with the love, joy, and peace. Because the love, joy, and peace is for you from God, and the rest is for you to others. And if you're not being gentle to others, and you're not being long-suffering to others, there's no way you have the love, the joy, and the peace from God. So if you find yourself snippy, no patience, angry, resentful, then you have to stop and realize which are you, you're taking from the flesh, or you're taking from the spirit. And the only way, the Bible says, you can, according to what we just read, get rid of it, crucify the flesh. You have to go to the cross. You have to see Jesus, the sacrifice that he gave on the cross for you. Now he says, now sacrifice your feelings, your will for others. He doesn't ask us to put nails through our hands and feet. He doesn't ask us to get beat. He asks us to show others the love and respect that he shows us. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, he gave his back to be beaten, he gave his hands and feet, he gave his spirit, he gave all his blood, he gave his heart, he gave it all for us. Sacrifice is the flavor of the fruit of the Spirit. Sacrifice. I pray, Almighty God, that we can receive the Spirit of Christ tonight, that we can receive and taste how good you are on that cross and what you did for us. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We deserve a place in hell's fire burning forever and ever. And only through the sacrifice of Jesus that we have salvation and restoration and love and forgiveness and mercy and grace. And we can receive of the fruit of the Holy Spirit love, joy, and peace. And then only through that can we be the tree of life for others, and they can come to us and receive and taste and see that the Lord is good in us, and they can receive the long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and faith and goodness and temperance. Help us, Lord. Help us, I pray tonight. Help us to think on these things. Help us, Lord God, to realize what root we're coming from, the flesh or the spirit. Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you've done and what you're doing in our lives. I pray, Lord God, help us to be the trees of life for all those around us, that they can receive and feel and see and experience the love that you gave us. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Amen.